Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good evening. Welcome to a special Monday night edition of Blue Shirt Banner Radio. I should have gotten the music for Monday Night Football. We could have kicked it off with that. Good evening, Eddie. How are you?
I'm great live. Joe Willie Demon. What's up, my friends? I got to tell you, what a great day. Rangers riding a two-game winning streak. Oh, Lord, be still my heart. So it's glad to be. I'm glad to be with you and the fellow Ranger fans tonight on the special Monday night edition. You can be my Frank Gifford.
Figured we'd come to you guys on Monday night since there's a game tomorrow and a game Thursday, and that Wednesday night we're leaving up in the air since it's St. Paddy's Day. We'll see what's going on. Couple of things to talk about. It looks like the Bruins just lost to the Devils, which I thought was good, but Jay of the Dead is telling me no, it's not. He wants the Bruins to stay ahead of the Rangers. So I don't know.
What?
I'm not sure. But the Devils are 4 points behind Pittsburgh, two games at hand. Don't count them out for that number two seed just yet. And then the Rangers get that seventh, like I said they might. And then we get those bastards in the first round when we will eliminate them. Eliminate them, I tell you.
You will be eliminated.
That's right.
See, this is my – it's already starting with, oh, let's bail out. Let's do this. Let's get the high pick. It's whoever gets that seventh and eighth spot or the eighth spot, it's going to be by default. I mean, there's so many teams that are just bunched up there. Is it really going to make a difference where the Rangers, I mean, by default, even if they just play the way they're playing, they could probably be in it to like the last three games. So I want to be invited to that party. I want to be part of the playoff party because the playoffs are going to start, and I want to see everything right in Rangerland. The Islanders out of it. The Rangers and Devils in it. I know they're going to get clobbered unless Jim's prediction of the Rangers-Devil series takes place in the first round where it might be close. So I don't think the Rangers are going to be able to tank enough or be bad enough to really sink. Not capable of being really bad, which we all know they can. It's just there's a lot of other teams that are just so bad and mediocre. The Eastern Conference sucks. Oh, it's bad, Jim. It's terrible. That's why I can't see the Cup. I mean, Pittsburgh's dominating. Pittsburgh, I can't see anybody but Pittsburgh winning the Stanley Cup at the Eastern Conference. Even the old Vic.
Not Washington?
Capitals. Nah, I mean, I'm not a big, you know, I mean, it's no secret. I just don't like their goaltending. And their defense, you got a lot of offensive defensemen on our team, you know, Green and Tom Pody. Hey, you know, fans, it's great. You boot Tom Pody right out of the building, but meanwhile, he's playing pretty good over there in Washington. Good job. Good job, Renegade fans, once again. Always doing the right thing. He's big. He's
Tom
tall.
Pody?
You know, no, it's just that when a guy's big, all Rangers fans expect him to hit, and if he doesn't hit, then they boo the hell out of him, and they ride him out of town. Now, I know the guy didn't play the greatest of hockey, but let's face it.
He was
terrible. He's good enough for the Capitals. Oh, you think he played terrible?
I thought he was terrible. When he was a Ranger, I thought he was terrible. I thought he was terrible. But
you're another one of those,
man. Yeah, I know. I'm another one. Hey, I got into an argument on Facebook today. Somebody telling me that Wayne Redden's not that bad. I said, I want to come over and watch the Rangers on your TV, see what the hell you're seeing. He's not that bad. I was like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. Marcy Braverman was part of that conversation, too.
Up in that conversation, too? No, you really got to go live to appreciate how bad Redden is. I mean,
yeah, I mean, you know, I got to see the Rangers a couple of times live this year. He's bad. He's just bad. And somebody said, oh, well, it's because of his contract. And I said, he'd be bad at $10 an hour. He's bad. He'd be bad if he worked on tips. He's just bad. He's bad. He stinks. He's terrible. But he was our number one guy and a guy we targeted immediately. He's the best first passer in the game. All right, we got a couple of things to get to. I want to real quick. I don't want to not mention this. Did you hear Ovechkin got suspended?
Yeah, 2 games, right?
Okay. Now I know you were probably I got to see that game. You probably didn't. You were probably on your way to the Garden yesterday. It was a good game, even though the Capitals came back and won. I saw the hit. And I got to be honest. As much as I don't like Ovechkin. I mean, yeah, it was the hit. I thought the hit deserved a penalty. I didn't think it deserved a major, and I didn't think it deserved a suspension. But that's, well, you know, and I'm no Ovechkin. I'm not an Ovechkin fan. I mean, I like his talent, but as a person,
nah,
I'm not crazy about it. But I was kind of surprised he got the suspension, especially because the name just went right out of my head. Was it Matt Cook?
Right, Matt Cook got nothing.
Got nothing. He got nothing. So, you know, in that respect,
zero.
It was kind of surprising.
Yeah, 0.0.
Yes. So,
we got to get that Cook going. But
so, did you see the Ovechkin hit? Did you get a chance to see it on the highlights or anything?
I'm looking at it now. I haven't seen it yet, but I will. I'll take a look at it. But no, I didn't see it because it wasn't the game. Which we'll get to in a couple seconds. So, what kind of hit was it? What does the chat room think? What do you think?
Well, you know, it was one of those hits where the guy, it was a boarding, and it was just, you know, he was just a little too far away from the boards to make it more of a legal hit, and he, you know, the guy got hurt, and I think that's, you know, that's where the suspension came from. But I don't know. You see a lot of similar hits just like that in the span of a game or two. That don't get called and guys don't get suspended. It's just a very strange situation going on in those NHL headquarters with discipline. And, you know, that's just my opinion. So, I just wanted to get your take on it. And they're talking about it in the chat room. And, yeah, Cook should have been suspended. Rangers dude saying it. And I agree, especially if you're going to suspend Ovechkin. I think Cook's hit was much worse. And, you know, I don't want to get into a whole headshots and conversation. I wanted to mention it at the top of the show and get Eddie's thoughts on it. And the other big NHL news today is that if you have DirecTV, you will see the Rangers tomorrow night on Versus.
Yeah.
Come to an agreement. Joe Beninati, I don't know who's announcing the game, but I just like to pick on Beninati because I think he's the worst hockey announcer of all time. But, you know, Joe Beninati will probably, you know, if there is a hell, that he'll be calling the game tomorrow, and it will be viewable on DirecTV. They have worked out an agreement. So that's all set.
He got
and
2 games for this?
So, okay,
holy!
So you're up.
I'm up to speed. I'm watching it now.
Okay,
what
so you
that?
Think it was? You think it was? You think the suspension was?
I mean,
was
I watched
too much?
It on slow mo, yeah. But this, did Ovechkin get 2 games because this guy's last name was Campbell and Colin Campbell? Is this guy Colin Campbell's long lost relative? I mean, this
well,
is the immediate reaction you get from me here. I mean, he pushed him, but 2 games?
Like I said, Campbell got hurt. He got hurt pretty bad. I guess he's out. He might be out for the season, possibly. And maybe that's where it came from. But you know, that hasn't translated in other injuries. Like, and now I can't remember the guy's name who hit David Booth on the Flyers, and Booth was out for a while. Was it Richards that hit? I don't remember now. God, my memory's just failing me this season. But anyway, the guy that laid out Booth, I don't think he got suspended, and Booth was out for all that time. So, you know, it didn't translate, you know, injury to time suspended there, but I don't know. What else we got? One other thing I want to mention at the top of the show before
I
forget.
Can I just talk about this Ovechkin thing for a second? I mean,
go right ahead.
Well, I got to say with, you know, just like you, I mean, I think he's a major league doucher, Ovechkin, but
yeah.
He's a world-class hockey player. He's one of the great players in the game, but 2 games? That's a little ridiculous here. Look, yeah, you're right. It's very erratic what they call and what they don't. And, you know, and everybody says Colin Campbell coddles Ovechkin, and, well, we know he coddles Sidney, but this is 2 games. But, you know, Ovechkin's, he's got a history of playing it on the edge, so maybe this was just a warning shot fired across the bow by goalie Campbell. Perhaps. I like it better when I see the things fresh. Then you get the unedited mouth perspective.
All right, let's see. I had something else I wanted to read to you, but I don't want to forget to mention this. If you are a subscriber to either Microsoft Zune MP3 player, or if you have an iPod like most of the rest of the world does, there's a few of us with Zunes, I have one. But if you have either one of those MP3 players, you can now subscribe to Blue Shirt Banner Radio on either one of them and be able to download our podcasts. I was able to get that set up over the weekend. So if you have either one of those.
Does that cost anything?
I have to be honest. Like I said, I have Zoom.
I wouldn't pay to listen to this on podcast.
Well, with Microsoft Zoom, you just pay a monthly subscription. It's $15.
Oh, okay.
And you can actually download up to onto 3 Zoom players. My wife and I share ours, and then you know you can have another one. Also, so you pay $14.99. You can download as much as you want, like 3,000 songs. So you know, just downloading our show would be included in that. How it works with iTunes, I really don't know. I don't know if you have to pay per download with them or if you just pay a monthly subscription. Like I said, I don't know how it works. But bottom line, we are on both of them. So if you do a search for Blue Shirt Banner Radio, you'll find us, and you can download us.
All right,
to your,
that's pretty cool.
To your MP3 player and take us with you wherever you go. And if you're on the subway listening to the show and you just burst out laughing and people wonder why, like I do sometimes when I listen back to the show. Okay, now we have one other NHL-related thing that I wanted to read to Eddie. I know you're going to love this. And then we'll get right into the Rangers. I don't know if you heard about this. This was in the I found this in the Toronto Globe and Mail the other day. The New York Islanders controversial owner Charles Lang came up with an idea about a play-in game in advance of the annual NHL playoffs that was sure to be rejected by general managers' meetings this past week, and it was. But just because Lang got too fanciful with his suggestion doesn't mean there wasn't some merit to the germ of his idea. What doomed the proposal, which was officially presented by Islanders general manager Garth Snow, you need a degree in engineering to figure this out, but was that Wang wanted every team outside of the top 7 in each conference to salvage a chance at postseason play through a complicated 16-team play-in round that would feature a week-long tournament in each conference. basically number 8 would play number 15, number 9 against 14, and so on, with a quarterfinal, semifinal, and final round in each conference just to settle the 8th and final playoff spot. He wanted to add 2 weeks to the playoffs just to determine who the lowest seed was going to be. Did you get all that?
Yeah. This guy is off his nut. I don't know what it is with this guy. He's demented. I don't know what he's talking about. For the final seed, is he talking about like a round robin for the 8th spot? Is
right.
that what he's talking
right.
about? Is that what the whole gist of the whole thing is? How about we go with the old standard, whoever does best in the regular season? How about
right.
it kind of worked out pretty good. Now,
doesn't it sound like he's just trying to find a way to get 2 extra home games for his team that always finishes 13th
or
14th?
Who the
hell is going to go watch the Islanders in Toronto play in the loser? In the loser bracket.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
Seriously.
Like, come on.
It's not like, you know, Ken Holland or Ray Shiro coming down, you know, from Pittsburgh saying, you know, this would be a great way. No, this is the loser of the losers coming in and saying, you know, we should have a tournament. Why don't we just have like a best spirit contest? Like, you know, whatever team has the most spirit wins. I mean, come on! No, the Chairman Wang is God.
Maybe he's hanging out
in those opium dens too much.
he has it figured out as a week-long tournament. Okay, so you have a quarterfinal, semifinal, and final round in each conference. So you've got you've got teams playing 3 games. Got them zigzagging all over the country to play these games. And what the hell is the rest of the league supposed to do? Just sit around and wait shut down the game for another week while they determine who the biggest loser is?
Biggest loser.
He's nuttier than a fruitcake with some of the crap he comes up with.
He's bizarre. He'll do anything to get his Islanders in the playoffs. They must have looked at him and just laughed.
How'd you like to raise that banner? We won the 8th seed tournament. It's Saturday night at Nassau Coliseum. Every fan gets a replica 8th seed banner.
Well, listen, he is a trailblazer, Jim. He did start the first Islanders go to play the preseason games in China foray, which I think will go down in hockey history. I mean, you know, we want to expand hockey to China. What is wrong with this?
There's
guy?
An old Balkan proverb. Only Nixon could go to China.
Nixon and Charles Lang. And the New York Islands.
Bananas.
Let's shut down the game another week just so everybody can decide who the biggest loser is. Oh my God.
I heard wind of this and I approached an Islander fan who I actually can approach and have a normal conversation. He poo-pooed my idea of what I thought was happening. He said, no, he just wants to make it 1-16 again. You know, like, you know, how it used to be back in the day where you just put the top 16 teams in both conferences and then you played number one, played 16, which I liked, basically, because you would see teams you didn't see all year, you know, first round you're playing the, you know, San Jose or, you know, whatever.
Well,
you know, whatever.
When the Rangers went to the 79 finals, was it the format like that? Didn't they play the Kings in the first round of the playoffs that year? Do I have that? Was that year?
Yeah,
they played the Kings, and it was a best of 3, wasn't it? In the first round, I think.
Yeah, that was a little crazy. Best of 3, anybody could win. Yeah, you could steal a series big time back then.
You know, especially when you're talking about play it in L.A. And, you know, I don't know what the format was as far, you know, did you play one in New York and then go to L.A. and then come back to New York for a game 3? Or did they, I don't remember how it worked. I was young. But anyway, so you know what, just give me back the Patrick division and play 1-4 and 2-3 like the old days in the Norris division.
That one, huh?
I miss those matchups, meeting the Flyers and, and Islanders every year, and you know, even the Caps. You know, I miss those days, but you know, this is what happens when you hire a basketball guy to run your sport that he knows nothing about.
Oh, he's done a wonderful, you know, wonderful job, Gary Bettman.
You know, the
really
first thing he does.
Go ahead.
The first thing he did was NBAize the NHL. You know, and then we wound up with an Eastern Conference and a Western Conference and an Atlantic Division. And you know, everything was seeded one through. I like the old days. I like the.
All right, stop talking about the old days. People with the younger people get.
All right,
bored.
Fine. Are we going to talk about hockey here?
Yeah. Well, let me. I know you want to review. Let me just talk about me, because let's face it, that's what I'm well versed in the subject of me. I went to the game Sunday. Yes, my favorite subject. I went to the game Sunday. Section 411. Oh, what a section it was. It was kind of quiet. A lot of late arrivals at that game Sunday. People came late. It was almost like a California crowd. I saw a lot of people. The trains were delayed because out here in the east there was that crazy weather storm, you know, that they wanted to call a hurricane so bad out here. But I was like, you know, hurricanes usually typically start out in the ocean and come here, you know. But the wind was big. I was like, no, it's not a hurricane. It's just a lot of wind. Calm down, everybody. But there were some delays and everybody came late and how about our Rangers, everybody? Come on. They're bringing us back. Beat the Flyers. Avery comes in with the two goals. He's drawing penalties. He's all over the ice. He's playing some fantastic hockey. I love the way Doobie beat the hell out of Richards at the end of the game. That was great. You know, it was, you know, it's kind of sucking everybody back in and they're thinking that we're going to get into the playoffs. Although I didn't really feel that from the fans afterwards, that we were like, yeah, we're back, because we're all a little bit tepid about jumping into that Ranger playoff hope pool. But it's looking good, Jim. I mean, what did you take away from the game? What did you see? I mean, did you watch that contest on Sunday afternoon?
Of course. I was a lot more impressed with yesterday's game than I was with Friday's game. I thought Friday I thought Friday night it was just a matter of them picking a dog while he was down. They were up against. They finally found an opponent who was in worse shape than they were. I thought Friday night was a pretty bad game. As deceptive a 5-2 victory as you'll ever see. Atlanta controlled the play for most of the second period and at least the last 5-6 minutes of the first period. But yesterday I thought was closer to maybe as close to a 60-minute effort as you'll ever get from this team. It was probably still only maybe a 50-minute effort, but we might have to settle for that. But let me ask you this. I posed this in the game thread yesterday, and of course everybody right away brought up Brodeur. But I think as a team, I think Avery bothers the Flyers more than any other team in the league. I mean, he gets under Brodeur's skin, but the Devils as a whole seem content to just ignore him for the most part, except for Marty. But when they play the Flyers, he's really seems to get under that entire team's skin. And he's had some of his best games against the Flyers. What do you think about that?
Well, I think, I mean, for sure that's a truism. You have to understand, and also now we got Avery gets under with the Devils as far as Kovalchuk's skin a little bit. But, I mean, you're talking about three or four guys who really can't stand him. I mean, really, he gets under their skin. And you add in the factor. So I agree with that statement. And you also agree with – I also throw in the fact that Dubinsky also plays very well, and he's always into it, like with Mike Richards. They have a path. They're always yapping, and it always makes for a more interesting game. Now, my take on the game is a little bit different from you, but I did like the caveat that you threw in at the end about as good as a 60-minute effort that the Rangers can play. I thought Philadelphia did not show up at all after the 10 minutes. They looked like a team they were playing, you know, day game after a night game, so to speak. And, well, that's what they were. But, you know, and they looked flat. They looked bad. You know, listen, I'm glad the Rangers took advantage of it. I'm glad the Rangers came with some passion and some sense of urgency. Don't get me wrong here. But it looked like Philadelphia just didn't want the game bad enough. And, you know, the Rangers only had like 25 shots on net, but they managed to keep Philly to what, like 15 or something? You know, something in the teens. So that, to their credit, and Michael Roosevelt, Rosie, things are looking rosy, ladies and gentlemen. He looked great in that game with that blast. And then, of course, Torts, master of the obvious, had him playing a lot of power play time after that. You know, if you score a goal, you're on the first line. You know, Brandon Prusty, if he scores, he's on the first line. Jody Shaw, you know. And this brings me to my next point, which I see D.B. Maven is trying to bait me out with the, you know, he's kind of insinuating that Tortorella had a lot to do with Avery's success with against Philadelphia, which is not true. There's only one player, there's only one person who controls Sean Avery, and that's Sean Avery. Nobody has to light a fire under this guy's butt to get him to play. Nobody's got to bench him. And I'm telling you, I know what's going on, Jim. I know. Sean Avery, and I you could go back like 15 shows when we were saying, what's wrong with Sean? I think he doesn't like Tortorella, okay? And he's figuring, you know, listen, I'm going to sabotage Tortorella by not giving him my all. And what happens is he turns it on and turns it off, and now watch. You'll see Avery now disappear for like five games or to whenever they play the Flyers again, which I know they play him a couple times down the stretch. I don't believe that John Tortorella benching him got to him. There's just no way. Nobody controls Sean Avery. I mean, you've got to be a lunatic to think that John Tortorella got to Sean Avery, and Sean said, you know what, Torch, you're right. I got to produce more. I deserve that benching. I'm going to come out and play for you. That ain't Sean Avery. Sean Avery does what Sean Avery wants to do. There's nobody in the world that can tell him otherwise. Everybody knows that. That's his personality. Now, as a Ranger fan, you want him, hey, Sean, whatever you think of Torch, go out there and play your ass off. We want to win. I don't want to lose. Don't let you down your teammates. So if what I think is true, it's kind of selfish on Sean's part. Maybe shutting it down and maybe not shutting it down, but not being the weasel every game that we love him. You know, but he played that aggravator role to a T. And maybe you can't do it for 40 games. I mean, 80 games. Maybe you can't do it. I don't know. But, it's interesting to me. That's my take on the Sean Avery thing. I am not giving John Tortorella any credit as motivation goes. He's had 70 games to motivate about 25 players on his team this year. He's done nothing. So what, all of a sudden he became a master motivator? I doubt it.
Okay. I didn't attribute Avery's play yesterday to the benching. I just attributed it to, you know, him getting under the skin of the Flyers more so than any other team in the league, and I think that's what he did. Like I said, he's had some of his best games agitator wise against the Flyers and goal scoring wise. Avery got his 10th goal yesterday, But unfortunately, you know, six of those goals have come in three games. He's got three multi-goal games and, only four goals otherwise. Now, let me ask you another question here on this Dubinsky-Richards fight. The Flyer fans are kind of bitching about Dubinsky, how he kept wailing on an opponent after he had him beaten and that he broke a cardinal rule of hockey fighting. What's your thought on that?
Oh, come on. What is that? What is this? ballet. Listen, these guys have been going at it since they've been in the league. I mean, they don't like each other. You just watch the history. And, you know, Brandon Dubinsky, folks, he's not known for his fisticuffs. This guy is usually the punching bag, the receiver on the end of punches. So he actually is winning a fight. The adrenaline is flowing, and you're gonna cry foul like a bunch of Nancy girls, a bunch of nurses, you Flyer fans, the Philadelphia Flyers, Broad Street Bullies with all your history. You got freaking Daniel Carcillo beating up Marion Gaborik, and then you're gonna say they were excessive between two skilled players? Get out of here, a bunch of buffoons.
Do you know what the Dubinsky fight? This was part of a long story that I read. It was compared to other fights where you see a guy who obviously has another opponent beaten. And I just want to read this to you. In the mother of all fights where Carcillo really could have put a hurting on his opponent, we come full circle with the Rangers and the Marion Gaborik tilt. As Gaborik falls to the ice, Carcillo clearly and obviously pulls up in an attempt not to injure the Rangers' star player. Respect. That's the actual line. I mean, come on. Flyers, I love it. Flyer fans complaining about being bullied. What has this world come to? What has this world come to?
If there is a Flyer fan that is listening to this broadcast, please, I beg of you, and you hold this opinion of that fight, call it. I promise, I will not mock you. I want to talk. How do you get into? I don't know what reality you deal in that you think that it was some kind of offense that what Dubinsky did. I mean, I watched the fight 100 times. I mean, it was a beating, but it wasn't like he was bleeding and flailing. I said, come on, give it a break, you cheesesteak fans, you stink. You lost to us. You must be pretty bad. Speaking of which, I talked to the Flyer fans afterwards, and they didn't mention that. They just said our team didn't come to play at all. So they were disappointed, and I was glad to see Mo Layton in that. Mo Layton, that's a really obscure reference. I don't think anybody's going to get that one. That's an old Nick reference. But so I was at the game with the game with Vinny Vasilino. You know, from Ranger Crisis number 50, my Ranger Crisis consigliere, and he thought the Rangers were going to lose that game. He really thought it was going to go into crapper real quick, but Vinny left the building happy.
Well, good. Ranger Crisis number 50, your opus.
Yeah.
your Academy Award winning video.
Yes, so that's some pair for the Flyer fans to talk like that. Oh, because Carcillo held up on Gaborik. He should have been fighting him in the first place. Come on.
Respect. I was looking at Andrew Gross, Ranger Rants today. Tortorella said, Henrik's going to play. I'm not looking too far ahead. I think we've been really good as far as the rest with the hockey club and rest with Hank. He didn't play a whole bunch in the Olympics. Selfishly for the New York Rangers, that was a good thing. He's going to play the majority. Is he going to play all? I don't know. So that's,
it's funny. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say, you know, every game from here on out is a playoff game. So when are you going to, you know, I know they have some back-to-back games coming up, but when are you really going to try and rest them? I mean, you know, we heard this last year too, and we probably heard it the year before from, you know, Rennie, and you know, it's every year it's the same thing. But every year they're in a dogfight till the last game of the season. So, you know, you ride your horse, right? The time to rest it would have been 3 months ago.
Right.
You know, now is not the time. So, I can't see them getting much rest.
They should just start the backup for the – well, they couldn't have – well, they might have gotten away with it because they played so well early on. But just start the backup the first 20. Get his 20 games out of the way. So then when they struggle to make the playoff, Hank's rested. But Hank said, it was funny. He said this is a different story. I read in one of the post game interviews or saw it, I think actually, that he was like, I have to think of shutting out the team every night now, from here on in. And I don't know if you got this torts piece of Larry Brooks reporting, unbiased reporting, but apparently Tortorella has put the kibosh on the Rangers players' parents' trip. And I want to know how everybody feels about this, and I'll read what Larry Brooks wrote here. In each of the previous two seasons, the Rangers took one road trip on which players were accompanied by their fathers. One of the highlights last season, in fact, is when the fathers chanted, "Let's go Rangers," in the corridor outside the locker room on Chicago on January 6th during then-coach Tom Rennie's post-game press conference after their kids' team defeated the Blackhawks in overtime. But this year, though, we're told that preliminary planning had taken place for a trip, including the players' mothers. There was no such event. Repeated requests for an official explanation weren't answered, but several sources told Slapshots, I guess that's Larry Brooks' blog, that current head coach John Tortorella had put the kibosh on the event. Now, how do you feel about that, Jim?
Why? What? Why? Why? I mean, give me a valid reason why a parent can't be around to watch their son play professional hockey. Give me one valid reason, and maybe I'll buy it. But
I'll be John Tortorella.
How many times? What's that?
And I'll answer you. If I'm John Tortorella, this is it. We need to concentrate and be focused on the playoffs. We don't need any distractions. This isn't a time for a special event. I mean, with all respect to the players' parents, the players have a job to do, and we need to get it done to make the playoffs. That's my John Tortorella. And
okay,
Larry Brooks,
I'm
going
to beat
you up.
Can I make my argument to
go ahead.
Coach Tortorella?
Mm-hmm.
I think more so in hockey than any other sport, any other professional sport, these players, most of them grew up in Canada. From the age of 3, 4, 5, they're playing hockey. Their parents are constantly there, driving them to practice, driving them hundreds of miles to play in games. These kids have played in front of their parents their whole, until they got to the pros. Now you're going to tell me that they're going to lose their focus because their dad's around? Come on. That's ridiculous.
Well,
it's just another way to piss off your players. It's just just another way to create a divide.
You have convinced me, and everybody but Wade Redden's parents will be allowed.
How many times you see a guy have a like I think Delzato did it, but I mean over the years. How many times you see a guy, the Rangers, go to Canada and play, and his family's in the stands, and he has a big night? Or so-and-so's father came in from Kazakhstan, and he's watching him play, and he had a great night. Whatever. How many times you see that happen? You want to do better when you know your parents are there watching you. I played baseball when I was growing up. I loved it when my father was at the game. Of course you want to impress your father and make him proud of you.
Well, the anti-Woot is saying that, he's a millionaire. My parents could come and live with me if they want. I don't need them to lace up my skates anymore. I'm a professional. Now, people have taken that point of view that these guys are professionals. They have a job to do. Well, wham, my parents can't show up. They're taking that, but it's kind of a reflection of a little bit what the bottom dollar. Do you think that not having their parents there is going to make them any better? I mean, it couldn't hurt, like you said. It could motivate them to play a little bit better, maybe get a win somewhere down the line. But it just goes to show you. it's kind of the cherry on top when you think about his player relations. I mean, he's really digging himself a big hole with these players.
I just think it's a nice way to create a more of a team concept. You bond the families, the players. I don't know. Maybe I'm being naive. I never played professional hockey, but I just don't see how it hurts. I don't see how you lose your focus. If the organization arranges the trip, arranges for the parents to be in the stands, arranges their travel, then how does it, you know, what is it? How does a player lose his focus? I don't get it.
And if you think about it, when Matt Gilroy's parents stopped showing up, he started to play worse. We need Matt Gilroy's parents to show up more. Remember those first 10 games that we're showing him every 5 minutes?
Yeah, they were interviewing his dad in between periods.
We got to keep those people, got to give them TV time. They got to be back at the games. Mr. and Mrs. Gilroy, I call out to you. I throw out the mouse signal. Beam it out there. Come to the games.
I don't know. I just think that no matter how old you are, if your parents are still around when you're doing something, you want to perform better in front of your parents. What's the, you know, who are you hurting by telling your, by saying the parents can't go? But you know, we're at the point of this regime where nothing surprises me. Nothing.
It goes back to our batted fan theory. Like you don't need to talk to your parents. I know what's best for you.
Right. All right. You want to start running through some phone calls because we got a short show tonight.
Yeah, let's get down to brass tacks.
All righty, let's get right to it. First up on the line here, I think this is Paul 632-902. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this? Hello, 631-902. Who's this? Anybody there? Nobody there. All right, we'll hang up on you.
Moving on.
And we'll go to 917-887. Who's this?
Hey, guys, it's me again.
Hey, Zach, how's it going, my friend?
How are you guys?
I'm good. Glad you guys are having the show tonight.
Listen to this guy. He's like, it's me again.
you recognize my voice by now.
Well, of course we recognize
you. People out there don't know who you are. I mean, we have thousands of new listeners every week.
That is true. All right, for the new listeners listening, it's Rangers Dude talking, but you can call me Zach.
Zach. Make very personable tonight. Well, you can call me Zach. All right. All right, Cupcake, what's your question? All right, Cupcake, what do you have to say? Sound off.
All right, first off, the Ovechkin hit. I got to get back to that. I posted on Facebook, define irony. Ovechkin, a superstar, getting suspended for that kind of a hit, which was, borderline, maybe you could get suspended for that, maybe you can't. I would have said that he should not have been suspended, but yes, you should have gotten a penalty for that. And the irony is Matt Cook, a goon, elbow to the face or shoulder to the face, whatever. Mark Savard gets a concussion. Campbell does not get a concussion. Savard does, and Cook does not get suspended. What is up with that?
Well, I'm a little miffed.
I don't understand it at all.
Well,
I don't either. We talked about it at the top of the show. It doesn't make sense to me either. I have no other answer for you other than that.
I mean, yeah. No, you're right. I mean, it's no here, no there, or nor there. I mean, you would think, especially, with this edict coming out shortly after the incident about the headshots and then, I don't know. I really don't know. Unless Ovechkin was given a stiff talking to by the NHL people that, listen, you better watch it. We're going to have to suspend you on the next questionable thing.
Any player that gets suspended for whatever reason, they always get a licking from the NHL. They always get a licking from Campbell saying, don't do this again, or else if you do it again, you'll be suspended and possibly for longer. Matt Cook is a repeat offender. You saw that hit to the head earlier in the season on Anisimov? He was suspended for that. The hit on Savard was worse. He got a concussion, and he doesn't get suspended.
Wow. Now, I see Paulie D. Paulie D is the headshot maven. I mean, he's been talking about this on his program for, I mean, you know, since it's become an issue. And to his commendation, he followed it. And I know I was listening to the show a couple weeks ago, and him and Kotze were going out, and Kotze said, that wasn't a dirty hit, that what Cook did. What about knee on knees? Those just as dirty. But see, Kotze, I didn't want to get into it with Kotze because then we would just blew up Paulie's show completely. But when you're talking about a headshot, and something that's to do with the head, it's not about ending a career. You can end somebody's life with a headshot. Nobody
exactly.
is going to get brain damage or go into a permanent coma from a knee-on-knee hit. So I totally back Paulie D, and I know Paulie doesn't like to get too into it with Kotze. He's his co-guy, and, you know, and Kotze's a former NHLer. He could beat the hell out of all of us. But the thing is that that, to me, is disgusting. And Matt Cook, I agree with you. It should have been a penalty should be levied against that. I don't care if it's east, west, north, south, whatever you call it. There's an intent there to injure. I don't care if you said he got the shoulder, whatever you saw. There was something, and again, all the other stuff about as far as you know, why it happens nowadays, that's all inconsequential. All I know, there was malice intent on that hit. And Cook has a reputation, and he should have been suspended. So, but also some great banter in the chat room as far as that the boarding penalty usually does get a penalty like that when Ovechkin's penalty. So, you know, I think it doesn't make sense, and there's got to be some balance because I saw a lot more intention on the Cook hit, the Cook hits, because now we're talking hits, the Glenn Cross hit against Drury. So I agree with you, Zach. There's, I think, tremendous inconsistency.
And let's not forget, Brashear did the same thing in last year's playoffs against Betts. Betts got injured. He didn't get a concussion, fortunately, but Brashear was suspended for 6 games.
Brashear. Name rings a bell. Brashear.
Apparently, you guys went to Hartford, you know, something about that. I was actually saying in the chat room before I got on, you should bring him up for Toronto's game so Orr could beat him up.
All right. Well, Zach, before we let you go, give us your quick take on the Rangers this weekend.
Yeah, this past weekend, overall, it was pretty interesting.
No, the weekend of December 21st, 1987.
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't paying attention that night.
Yes, this weekend.
This past weekend, it was interesting. You know, the sloppy start in the first period, which I was listening to on my little transistor radio because I was in the car. But I caught the rest of the game, and it was good. Avery put in a lot of hustle, which is a huge plus. So maybe we should bench him every other game. That way he can continue playing like this. And against the Atlanta game, we just blew him over. Atlanta was exhausted. I think we're giving the Rangers way too much credit, but 5 goals is still pretty impressive.
Yeah, I agree with Zach there. I mean, I thought the same thing about both games. But the Rangers had to win those games, and they won it. So I have to give them some credit. But I think they played against two teams that were just tired. But listen, these teams are all fighting for playoff positions with the Rangers. And if they're going to give us these games, I'm going to take them in a heartbeat. Because
Without a doubt.
We usually are the ones giving these games away. So to get them,
I'll take a dirty win. I'll do it any day. Well, I don't want to sound bad, but if a win's a win for us, even if the opponent are very tired, or also in the case of Philly, if they underestimated us, because Philly usually underestimates us a lot.
I agree.
Okay.
I mean, I'm trying to figure out what this means but in the chat room. But, yeah, Zach, that's a good point. We'll take them, and that's the way it goes. I mean, you know, we'll take the win.
Yeah. Oh, one last thing before you guys let me go. No joke. I'm actually going to do a research project on the Islanders' lighthouse, and I'm going to present it in my speech class next week. So if you guys have any information, any links, or anything like that, send them my way, because I will present it in class.
Nice.
How long does your presentation have to be?
7 minutes. And then there's a Q&A afterwards.
We might have to give Zach 7 minutes to give his presentation on the air, just so we can goof. Not so we can goof on you, but so we can goof on the Lighthouse project. All right, Zach, we got a short show tonight, so we're going to take some other calls. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next time.
Anytime, guys.
All right, later.
What was that game we used to play as a kid? Was it 7 minutes in heaven? You used to take a girl in the closet or something? What was that?
Yeah.
How did we come to this?
He said 7 minutes in heaven. 7 minutes in heaven.
Back in the old days, now they would call it statutory rape. back in those days, it was 7 minutes in heaven to me.
Okay. Well, it depends on who you got in the closet. It depends on who you got in the closet with. let me just finish the thought on the weekend. You know, whether or not Atlanta and Philly played their best hockey, you know, the Rangers got to play the hand they're dealt. And I said going into the weekend that if the Rangers didn't get at least 3 points out of this weekend, I thought they were finished, and they got four. So, you know, Montreal's next. Who's next? You know, every night's a playoff game from here on out. Let's get another call up real quick here. We're going to blow through them as fast as we can. 7 minutes in heaven. Oh, man.
It depends who you're in the closet with. That was funny.
917-825. You're on Blue Shirt Panda Radio for your 7 minutes in heaven. Who's this?
Hey, it's Chris. I'm actually a first-time caller. I read the blog every day.
Hey,
Chris,
first-time
caller, long-time listener. How are you? Welcome to the
program. I'm good. Thank you. Listen, I wanted to ask you guys. I know a lot of people are dogging on Tortorella lately, but do you guys think it's possible that in anticipation for the Philadelphia game, he benches Avery, right, knows they can win without him for Atlanta, and then, you know, makes Philadelphia dress guys like Cote and, you know, throw them off their game a little? I think it was a bit of good coaching.
I think it's a possibility. I mean, yeah, I mean, it does make sense. I mean, I didn't really see it from that angle, but he could have said, listen, you know, Avery is, you know, he's a live wire against Philly and kind of suckered the flies into dressing some guys and kind of hyping the whole Gabbert-Carcillo incident and thinking the Rangers were going to get him and all this stuff. Part of me wants to think that that's possible, and it could have been. But, unless he consulted Sean before then, because Sean,
right.
You know, he's not, you know, it would be tough because Sean, you know, he's a live wire. You don't want to mess with his psyche. He's very imbalanced. So, you know, but that's a good thought, and that's a good way of looking at it. That could have been and I'll ask the chat room that question. We got one no. And, Jim, what do you think about that?
I guess it's possible, but I'm still sticking with Avery just plays some of his best hockey against the Flyers, and I think he agitates them like no other team. I mean, there have been a couple of games that they've played against the Flyers where he has just been under their skin from the drop of the puck, and he takes them completely out of the game. And really, I think that's my opinion. I think that's what it boils down to. I'm not saying you're wrong, but that's just what I think. I just think he just agitates those Flyers like no other. It's like the whole team has the mindset of Martin Brodeur, and he just gets under their skin like a scabie, and they just itch at him and itch at him the whole game. And you know, and when he's at his best, you know, the Rangers, he's had some of his best games against the Flyers from an offensive standpoint and from an agitating standpoint.
Well, I think if he did, you know, it was a great bit of coaching. And, I mean, if that guy has the sort of control to manipulate the team like that and produce a win.
All right. Step up to the plate, baby. Yo, peace to JC for bring it back to rap. Peace to Biggie Smalls for putting the rap on
Yo,
the track.
Peace
an idea for setting that mouth trap. Now the guards going through what they do, and that's that. Peace to Papoose for certifying the rap. Peace to Big Pun for making the rap. Peace to all my niggas that kept New York on the map. Now the guards going through what they do, and that's that. Yo, freaky for Ziki, I speaky. 24, 7 days a week. That MC steady trying to meet me, steady trying to greet me, trying to see me. But I can see every species in 3D, like TVs with DVD up in my TV, smoking BDs, eating African dishes called BB bone and chickens, man, Jiggy, you see me? The ball was the brand of BB. When I wanted to get Apollo Freak the cash, I would have settled for Kiki. That is easy, catching the heebie-jeebie, because I be spreading this type of across the board like a Ouija.
Okay.
From here to Tahiti, I make a treaty for all y'all niggas that need me. Real healing, ha, come see me. Nigga, do you? Let me be me. And that for all you thug wannabes, unplug like MTV. I be the polo for that year. The number one thespian. Sometimes I
don't know what
that is. See, frame of mind is lesbian. Meanwhile, I check what's on your head being. My nigga hit me with the track and I'm ready to begin. My light line, too bright to outshine. Put the wine, try to define, but you might go blind.
Okay,
yo, peace to JC for bringing back the rap. Peace to Biggie Smalls for putting the rap on the track. Peace to Nasir for setting that mouse trap. Now the guards going through what they do, and that's that. Peace to Papoose for certifying the rap. Peace to Big Pun for making the rap fat. Peace to all my niggas that kept New York on the map. Now the guards going through what they do, and that's that. And yo, the guards going through what they do, and that's that. The guards going through what they do, and that's that. The guards going through what they do, and that's that. The guards going through what they do, and that's that. The guards going through what they do, and that's that. The guards going through what they do, and that's that. Yo, the guards going through what they do, and that's that. The guards going through what they do, and that's that. Devils on the bump with us. But through these lyrics, yes, and God we trust. And when the devils out looking for prey, we call on G.O.D., he gon' save the day. Hey, hey, devils wanna bump with us. But through these lyrics, yes, and God we trust. And when the devils out looking for prey, we call on G.O.D., he gon' save the day. Hey, hey.
Lit up and down, y'all. Olori Man's right here. Be hitting your heart like bricks this year, you dig? Manhattan 125th. Uptown, Brooklyn, what's the deal? Bronx, Queens, Manhattan. You already know how we do it. Across the water, the Staten. This year's a blessing. I'ma hit you hard, the comet is coming, you dig? Olori Man, peace to the fam, God Squad Universal. You already know.
Yo, what up, what up?
Peace.
That's right, Blue Shirt Fan of Radio, bringing it to your rap style live from my underground lair. Whoever's broadcast this is, it absolutely sucks. Tasted music.
I don't know what's going on. I've just called in on my regular phone, and I'm still hearing that. Can you still hear that? Is that music still playing?
No music. All right.
Here's what we're going to do. I'm gonna hang up. I'm going to leave you to man the fort. I'm going to call back in on Skype, and then we're going to clear the switchboard, and we're going to try this over again with this, I don't know what, I think we got hacked into or something. Anyway, I'll be right back.
It's funny because Paulie D before, I am mean, he told me I love how it happened during Chris, our new caller, called in and he got cut off by rap. I must be thinking, what kind of show is this? But Paulie was saying that he had some problems with his radio show. It just cut off. And all of a sudden, Jay-Z or Biggie Smalls came by, and it's all stopped. And this is what I always wanted, a program of my own. No Jim Schmiederberg to jump in. Now, I could just talk to my Ranger proverbial fans out there. Might as well do the roll call while we have the listeners.
Unbelievable. What is it with this
block?
I don't know what the hell that was. But no matter what I did, I couldn't stop it. I apologize. It certainly wasn't coming out of my computer. You'd never hear stuff like that coming out of my – it's not my musical taste, that's for sure. I don't know what that was. Just wonderful, wonderful blog talk radio. Anyway, we're back. So I guess
– and
all is quiet.
Everybody
so don't
was laughing
having phones.
A good Everybody was laughing and having a good time, Jim, so don't worry about it. Don't get too crazy. Whatever is funny. So what happened to Chris, our speaker? I was saying, boy, Chris has got to think we're running a Ricky Dink operation, which we are, but what happened? Is Chris still on the board?
No. I cleared as many people as I could off before I just, you know, hung up to try and stop that music.
I don't think it was Chris, though. Chris was asking a legitimate question. And to answer Chris's question, as I try to regain my composure, is that, you know, I'm not one of these guys that's going to blame Tortorella for everything, because that's not the case. Ultimately, the responsibility comes to the players on the ice and the players he's given. Let's face it, he's not been given an all-star squad to play. I mean, this team is marginal at best. They only have, I think, one horse on the team, and you know, a lot of rookies. They're not a really old team, and so, you know, I'm not one of these Tortorella haters. Although I think there are some things he does that contribute to the futility. So that was And I love how Critical is now talking about that beat was an original song. He's like, that beat is 10 years old, so he's into that kind of music. Which, hey, listen, I embrace all types of music. Really not that, but... So, Jim, what's going on? You regained yourself?
While you were talking, I'm arguing here with Blog Talk Radio live chat. Anyway... Paulie sent me a message that his show got cut off in the middle, so I must have missed, that must have been after I left to come over here and get ready for our show. I don't know about the. So I'm going to bring. We got James on the line. Let's bring James in. James, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, great music, guys, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, imagine if Emil Francis was talking. And
yeah, well, you know. Yeah, that,
he would have stopped and talking when the song was over.
Yeah.
I do the same thing, so I can't say much. I do the same thing, so.
Your friends went trouble right off the air. They were like, what is this crap?
I just gave you my host ID. Oh, host ID. Whoops, I gave her the host pin. Whoops, sorry. Go ahead.
They played. I think they played smart against Philly. Avery, you know, like everybody's saying, you know, and I think the main reason is because Philly has those type of players who get baited into that type of thing. They have the Carcillos and the LaPerriers and the Cotes, all these morons, you know, and you know, you put these, you know, the goonery on, they're gonna, you know, Avery could pretty much, you know, have his way with them and you know, get them to take stupid penalties, and that's what he did.
No, I mean, there seems to be a certain. I guess we got to give props to the Rangers for this. There was a certain plan. Now, if it was Avery on his own, or whether it was Tortorella as a team, that you had a guy come out with a plan, do his thing, and let's face it, he drew a penalty by not going, and when a guy wanted to fight, and he scored a couple of goals, he got under their skin, they had a plan, and the fact that they took the time, even if it just was on Avery's part, to put forth that plan and succeed at it, they deserved to win, because the Flyers, frankly, as far as I was concerned, did not come to play. And I'm glad to see, a lot of people won't admit it yet, but, you know, Michael Roosevelt really shored up his game the last 15 games or so. He actually looks like where he should have been at game one, you know, because he looked horrible in the first 25. I mean, he looked like I wanted him out of here. And I still want him out of here, but not as much as Mary Lou Redden.
They
can't be a bust that leaves quick enough to have that guy on it. I mean,
Yeah, because at least you see Rosie having, like you said, you know, he's having a good game every now and then, and he has been picking it up and playing better. And, you know, and Redden has just been playing horrible. He's always, I don't know. He just has been horrible since we've seen him, you know, every game. I mean, you usually see him make a lot of mistakes, you know. So
yeah. He looks lost at that. I think Girardi is still struggling a little bit. So I wonder about him. I think Delgado played a great game in that game.
Oh, he was hitting everybody.
He was hitting everybody. He was blocking shots. The only part about his game is defensive positioning, which, you know, he's 19. He'll find that. And I'm surprised. There are a lot of Ranger fans on these wacky boards that believe that he's kind of lost it. But if you remember when we talked to Andrew Gross, he said that Gilroy and Delzato were gassed at the Olympic break. They had nothing left because they're not used to this grueling schedule.
Right.
So, I mean, you got to expect this. It's so funny, these Ranger fans, with all these young guys up there, but if they don't get a point every game or they go through a slump, I mean, I think MDZ did have a slump defensively. I mean, the guy's was a minus 18. I don't know what his plus minus is now. But that's his problem. I mean, that's the game part of the game that he's got to shore up. And of all parts of the game as a defenseman, your own zone is the hardest to come by. It's experience, and it's being in the league, and it's maturing in his, physically, too, because he's going to get bigger. He's only 19. Like, you know, he puts on 20 pounds, then there's a difference about, clearing and tying up people and whether you're able to do that. So, I thought he played a great game as well in that Flyer game.
Yeah, and can you imagine, the mental part of it too, being 19 years old and, playing on the biggest stage in the world. And, he came out in the beginning of the season, was doing great, and he hit a little bump in the road, and he pretty much, like you said,
yeah,
for a little while. I mean, for a 19-year-old kid, I mean, you got to expect that. It happens to 10-year veterans. I mean, it happened to the Chris Chelioses, these great defensemen.
Right.
I mean, they're not going to play 82 wonderful games. I mean, there's going to be, some 10, 15 games. They're just going to be, have a bad game. And, it's bound to happen. And at 19,
yeah,
man, I mean, and you see the kid hitting, and you see him, like you say, he's out of position once in a while, but he's looking pretty good. You really can't complain for somebody that's that age and the strides he took, making the team and continuing to play on a continuous basis too.
Yeah, I mean, besides Tyler Myers, he's the best rookie defenseman in the league as far as I'm concerned, and Tyler Myers on the Sabres, he's awesome. I mean, he's got it all. But also, you have to throw into the fact, James, Michael DeZelda plays a lot of minutes for a 19-year-old. He plays like 19, I don't know what the exact minute is. Maybe somebody goes, but he plays a lot for a rookie out of juniors. And same thing with Gilroy. They log a lot of ice time with no seventh defenseman to spell those guys on the odd night. They're out there, and they're playing.
Yeah,
so,
you got to give them their props, man. I mean, they're doing good. I mean, especially on a mediocre team, too. I mean, like you said, we're marginal. We're a marginal team. We might be a little over 500 a game or two, maybe a little under 500. But we're right around there. We're not no world beaters. We're not going to win no cup, But to have young guys like that come in and produce, like you said, Gilroy and Delzato, and just play solidly. You see them most of the time. I mean, 90% of the time they have a solid game, and they're still learning. They're still learning, and they're going to continue to learn, and they're going to get better. I mean, these guys are good kids, and hopefully they, they just keep getting better and better, and that'll be great for us in the future.
Michael Delzato is averaging 19 minutes, 21 seconds a game. It's eighth on the team, fourth amongst the defensemen.
Yeah, and that's a lot for a young rookie, huh?
When you consider that, what do they play in the OHL, 55 games? Something like that.
62, 55, something like that.
Yeah,
right.
So... Yeah, he's in his 67th game, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
sorry.
I just want to say it's not like it was like he knew that he was good, like he knew he was going to be on the NHL team, and he didn't really prepare. I mean, I don't know if he did or he didn't, but I'm sure he wasn't saying, "Listen, I'm going to be playing with the Rangers this year." He kind of was on the bubble, so to speak, whether he was going to make the team right out of the gate. And the next thing he's a Ranger. Get ready. Let's play. You got to be in the NHL. You're throwing your baptism by fire, as we'd say. And although now Gilroy's a different guy and a different situation because he's 25. He's probably matured into his body as much as he can. A lot of Ranger fans are getting down on him. But I think, again, you know, like James said, it's not like we're putting them together with the Penguins here, and you got a lot of guys to pass to. And, you know, Delzato's put up some good numbers, goals and assists, on a team where there really isn't a lot of guys to pass to.
And you know what I like, Ed? I love the way he picks his spots to hit people, too. I mean, when a guy's coming down, I mean, he's been hit. I mean, he's hit hard. And you don't see him go just leaving his spot just to go run at a guy. I mean, he's playing the man, and he's staying with him. And then when he has the chance, he'll hit. He's not doing anything stupid to run at somebody or, you know, something like that, you know. So, he he's learning the game, and I think he's doing a great job.
And, you know. Eddie, listen to this. You're talking about Gilroy being gassed. 2005, 2006 with Boston University, he played 36 games. 06, 07, 39 games. 07, 08, 40 games. Last season, 45 games. Right now he's in his 60. He's going into his 65th game with the Rangers. I mean, he's never played this many hockey games. I mean, you know, maybe pickup games, but not, you know, the grind of a schedule. I mean, he's, you know, he's on game 65. I mean, that's a lot of extra games, and he's got at least 15 more to go.
Sure. And then if the playoffs, I mean, if they make it and they happen to win a round, I mean, the intensity of playing in the playoffs.
Now you're talking crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be kind of tough on these guys.
Now you're talking crazy. Cut him off.
You're right. But James, by the time they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, he's going to need a nap, that's for sure.
They're
right, James.
They're all going to
need a nap. I like the way James is geared up for a lengthy run into the playoffs.
Hey, man, you know, you got to keep the faith. I mean, I was down on them last week. I mean, and then they always do this to me. Once I think they're out of it, they come climbing back little by little. But, you know, I mean, as a fan, that's what you want to see. I mean, you want to see them, you know, play well. You want to see them not roll over and die. You want to see them come back. So, I mean, if they could come back and grab the eighth spot, like I said, I'm not expecting anything great, you know, in the playoffs, but hey, if they could make it and get these guys some experience, I guess that's the best thing that can happen. Get Delzato experience and Gilroy and whoever else, some of these guys that have never been there. And that'll be great for the next season and the season after that. I mean, get them in there. I mean, that would be, good for all of them.
Yeah. And you got to understand, they were thrown into Camp Tortorella there. I mean, you know, he had them, you know, working out and doing all that stuff. You know, it's, again, you know, a lot of people don't, and Gilroy, again, he's learning a new position. I mean, he's playing defense. He's been a forward pretty much his collegiate career. So, you know, at 25, you'd like to see a little more progress, you know, but I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater yet with him. And the same goes with Anisimov. I think he's played well, considering he doesn't play with anybody.
Right,
you know,
and the minutes they get. I mean, it's not like they're getting 25 minutes a game. Either 22 minutes. I mean, you know, they're getting it. You know, what are they getting? Maybe 12 minutes. I mean, I guess it's decent for a third line or whatever. But you know, I mean, and if these guys develop into something more and they can show, you know, with a little bit of minutes that you know they earn, you know, they earn the more minutes, then great. And like you said, though, for you know, Anisimov has played. I think he's played great too.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we always scream for the youth and. He finally got him here, and you know, got to be patient, folks.
Exactly, and guys, I wouldn't mind if we did it the right way, and it took another 3 years. I wouldn't mind that. If I saw a nucleus of young guys who we developed, our organization developed, and you see them, they came up together, and they all, you know, they want to play for each other because you know they went through it all. It's just like I think we were talking about last week, the guys back in the 70s and 80s. I mean, we had the nucleus of all these young guys who they all played together, and, man, they stuck up for each other. And that's what you'd want to see. You'd want to see that young nucleus and put those, you know, free agents, you know, what you need. You know, put them in, you know, type of player you need in a certain spot, pick them out, you know, but keep that core of the young, you know, that good young defense that they're going to have and the Derek Stepans and the Ryan Bourques and all that. I mean, who knows in 3 years, with 2-3 years, what's gonna be?
Exactly, and they keep bringing them in, more draft picks. Let's not stop. You're right, James. So have you changed your feeling yet? Is this 2-game victory? Or do you believe in my tease method?
Yeah, it's the tease. I think it's the tease again, man. I mean, I hate to say it, but I mean, you know, we've been through it before so many times. It's the tease. I mean, yeah, you still want, you know, you want to see them win. You want to see them play well. That's number one, and you want to see them stick up for each other. I mean, and I was hoping to see more fighting and stuff the other day. I mean, I really was. I thought somebody was going to go after Carcillo and do something. But then, when you're thinking, yeah, the 2 points is more important, I respect that. I mean, that's the way you got to do it. You take care of it at a later time. That's what they were saying. They're going to take care of it at another time. Another time down the road it could happen. And I'm sure they'll take care of him. And for the Flyer fans who are crying about all the, they're crying about everything. You know, the officials were terrible and this. I mean, they beat us, the first three games, right? And nobody's crying then, they're not crying, but now when they get a few penalties, they're crying about it.
Well, they were very unhappy about that, but I don't know if you caught the part where, Jim, what was that thing you were saying? Maybe you could tell James a little more clarity than I can about what they were complaining about, the Dubinsky fight.
Well, that Dubinsky broke a cardinal rule of hockey fighting, and he continued to pound on an already beaten opponent. And they said that in the same article, they said that Carcillo deserved respect because he pulled back when he could have really hurt Gabrick.
Right. Did you see him pull back? I didn't see him pull back. I saw him keep wailing on him until Gabrick pretty much tried to take care of himself till he was down, and that's it. And the linesman refs came in, broke it up, whatever. And when Dubinsky was fighting, what was it, Richards? They fought toe to toe, man. Richards had it in the beginning. Dubinsky came back, started kicking his ass, which was nice to see. And how many times do you see the linesmen are getting in and guys are still throwing punches? I mean, what, we don't see that anywhere else? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I love it.
Go ahead, Eddie.
I was just saying, from an organization such as the Philadelphia Flyers to do a wah.
Yeah, exactly.
My vagina hurts. I mean, seriously. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, this is a team. James and I know we watched the old broadcast. How many times you got to watch the Rangers get their ass kicked against Flyers?
Oh, especially 74, right? I mean, you look at the Game 3 from 74 and the Game 7. I mean, Game 3 was unbelievable. There were fights all over the place, and all you heard was the Flyer announcers, Gene Hart, Don Earl, crying about everything, and then he's talking about the Ranger fans. Oh, the Rangers were pussycats in the Spectrum. MSG, they're chanting for blood, and all this nonsense, Oh, he gave him the signal to go to the bench or whatever, but you don't see him putting any – oh, count, that's the word he used. They're not putting any counts up to any of the Ranger guys. I mean, these guys, all they did was cry, and what did the Flyers do? All they do is just keep putting the bullies out, but when Francis did it, oh, forget it. It was, it was crybaby time, That's all these guys did. And what do we see? We saw Schultz grab, and grab him by the hair,
Yeah.
The defenseman. What's his name? I can't think right now.
Rolf?
Dale Rolf,
yeah. I know a lot of people hate Rolf
for breaking
Rattel's foot and stuff, but Rolf took a pounding. You didn't see Schultz letting up there, did you?
The way I look at it is, beyond being Ranger fans, we're all New York sports fans, and the day that I'm taking sportsmanship lessons from the city of Philadelphia and their fans, the world's just turned upside down.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
Let's go back to the
Eagles, the Buddy Ryan days with the bounties and the headhunting, and as much as I hate the Cowboys, Michael Irvin laying on the turf at Veterans Stadium, and they're all cheering. The day I'm taking any – come on.
Yeah.
The city of Philadelphia, they have absolute – come on. It's just ridiculous.
Ridiculous. And, Jim, I could see if somebody landed a major right cross or something, and you see the guy's eyes roll, and the guy's going down or something, and you're trying to pound on him, and you see the guy seriously hurt. That's a different story. Richards, there was nothing wrong with him. He could have bounced back. How many times do guys bounce back up and turn it around, and all of a sudden they're on top of the other guy if you let your guard down? So I don't blame Dubinsky. I wouldn't let my guard down against Richards. No way.
The only good sportsman that ever come out of the city of Philadelphia is Rocky Balboa.
That's it. Fictional.
Rocky. A fictional character.
Fictional character. There you go. The Philly fans have nothing to say. I mean, they won their cups because of all this garbage. And look at the Greshners and you look at Roger Bear on those MSG vaults. They still hate the Flyers to this day. Greshner can't even talk about them. He gets so pissed off just thinking about them and what they pulled back then. And same thing with Gilbert. And he's like, you know, and then he's like the refs, you know, they would intimidate the refs too, and that's why we got these penalties at the end. And it's true. I mean, what are these people crying about? Okay, so and if they keep pulling that mentality that they still have by putting the goons out, trying to do something because they think the Rangers are going to do something to Carcillo, hey, that's Lavalette's fault. You'll blame your coach.
Yep.
Exactly.
Emil Francis, you know, he loves hockey and he loves everything, but you mentioned the Flyers. He still calls them, I can't root for those goons. He still calls them goons. So, you know, they're off their rocker. They just want to cry. So that I knew that you would be very opinionated about that.
Yeah, you know me, Ed. I'm like, I think we were separated at birth somewhere, you know?
All right, James, we're gonna get another phone call in before the end of the show. We'll talk to you next time.
You got it. Thank you, guys. Talk to you later.
Thanks, James.
Take care,
okay, bye-bye.
Philly fans teaching us about sportsmanship.
Nice.
Gotta love it.
What's next? What's next?
Rocky Balboa.
Tucky fried idiot.
Tucky fried idiot. I like that one. I mean, serious. I mean, you know, what's next? Rap music on this program?
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah. I got one more from Rocky.
You're talking over till it's over. What's that from?
That clip's not that good, though. Ain't nothing over till it's over. All right. Without further ado, I've left him on hold for a while, and he wanted to chime in on the whole Ovechkin thing. And so let's bring in the one, the only. Can't get enough internet radio on his own show, so he calls ours as well. Paulie D, how are you, buddy?
The wonderful world of Blog Talk Radio. I really love the music.
What'd they do? They cut you off?
So, yeah, well, you know, it wasn't even that bad for you guys. Kati and I were in the middle of a very heated discussion, and the next thing you know, everything just goes black. So you get kicked off your own show. That's really bad. But it is what it is, and that's Blog Talk Radio. But, you know, I just, you guys are the best. I just want to say I appreciate you delaying your show for the ending of my show. I really do appreciate that. It doesn't matter. I don't even have any more listeners anyway. So,
what do you mean? Get out of here.
with all that said, I want to chime in here.
Did you flush the format or something?
I mean,
No, I'm only kidding.
It's the economy, Paulie. Everything's down.
Well, did you hear me? Well, I always listen. I've been catching it on the podcast, but did you hear me defer to it before when I was talking about when you were going at it with Kotze the other night?
I did.
I know as co-host you couldn't really, like, get into it, and I was almost – I felt like I should have listened live because I would have called in and said, listen, Kotze, you go to the head. That's life-ending, you know? So go ahead and give us your take on the Ovechkin thing.
Well, you know, let me put it to you this way. At first, Ed, and everybody, you know, I was on the fence with the headshot rule. I was hot on that for a long time. It's part of the International Ice Hockey Federation rules. It's also in the World Juniors. It's all over the place except for the NHL. But exactly like you said, here's the bottom line, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, but a couple of hockey fans share this with me. Don Cherry, who is a very aggressive type of coach and a hockey icon, was quoted saying that Matt Cook is a POF and he's a coward, and he actually told him right to his face. He thought the hit was disgusting and it's disgraceful to the game of hockey. And the bottom line is, I wrote this for the blog on the show, I got to tell you, man, that, you know, if you watch this hit, and Kotze can say what he wants to say, and a lot of the old-timers can say what they want to say, it's a dirty hit for one reason, and we all know why. Matt Cook is purposely looking to take Savard's head off. Bottom line, he was able to hit Savard in any way he could have, in any area of the body. We all know it. Savard had no idea Matt Cook was coming for him. He could have hit him shoulder on shoulder. He chose not to. He chose to go for his head. He chose to rip his head off. That's the difference today than it was 20 years ago when Kotze played. Because if you were going to do that, you were going to get your face kicked in. Could you imagine if that was Wayne Gretzky, what would have happened?
Yeah.
It wouldn't even
have been a discussion.
It wouldn't even have been a discussion. So for right now, I think the headshot rule is a good thing for the NHL because these players run around unabated, unchallenged. There's no regard. And in that part, I agree with the old-timers where they said, you know, the NHL is not going to let the players police the ice anymore, so they have no choice. But my biggest thing is I think Ovechkin's hit is a hockey hit. I think Campbell knows Ovechkin's coming. I don't think it's a blindside hit at all. He gets two games. Matt Cook gets nothing. Colin Campbell needs to find a new job.
Paulie, it's disgraceful. I was saying in your chat room that I agreed with you to the point. You know, I thought it was the type of hit that you see, you know, at least once a game and not get penalized.
Yeah.
You know, I was even surprised. I thought it was a penalty. I was surprised they gave him 5 minutes on the call. And then when I saw he was suspended, I was really surprised. I really was. And I'm not big on Ovechkin as far as, you know, the guy. You know, he's got a ton of talent. There's no denying that. But you know, he just pisses me off sometimes.
Yeah.
But
and he plays on the edge.
Yeah.
But you know what, Jim? I know you were in the chat room, and I don't know if you heard the question, but I want to ask the same question on your show. Is this, if both these hits, if the Cook against Savard and Ovechkin hit last night happened in the same week, and I need everybody to just kind of clear out their head and think about this. If we were to take bets around a table on what hit was going to be suspended and what hit wasn't going to be suspended, would any of us have gotten it right?
No. Yeah, I did hear that question. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
I thought it was hands down 10 games for Matt Cook. I would have bet the house on it. Yet Ovechkin gets suspended for 2 games, and Matt Cook gets away with practically trying to attempt murder. And Mouth, you said it best. I've been crying about this. Whether there's a rule or not, it's obvious it's an intent to injure type of play.
Yeah, that's not a hockey play.
That is an intent to injure the player. Absolutely, and there doesn't need to be a rule. That's why there is an intent to injure. A match penalty, which he didn't receive in the game. But anybody, and if you look around the league and if you talk to people about hockey and people who have been in the game and know hockey, everybody knows a good hockey hit to a dirty hockey hit. And even Billy Guerin, his own teammate, said it's not a good hit.
Right, no.
It's not a good hit.
And you know what I think somebody, this is another thing I wanted to say, is that I think they woke up because if something, think about all the progress, and you know, listen, it's been limited progress. We all know Gary Bettman has held back the progress of hockey becoming a bigger sport. I don't know if it's ever going to become a major sport, but I think all three of us and most of the people in the chat room will agree that it could be done a lot better, all right? But with that said, imagine what happens. Say Matt Cook makes a hit and somebody, God forbid, goes in a coma. You know how bad PR that would be for the hockey and how bad it would put all that stuff they tried to take away from being a goon league? People aren't going to know all the progress that's going to be made. All they're going to read is some guy got in a coma or some guy died during a hockey game on a hit, and that'll be it. It'll be
a legal one. A legal one.
A legal one that was condoned by the league that there was never a penalty on. What? All that progress is going to be for nothing. So I think somebody finally woke up and said, "Listen, this is, you know, it's turning into bad press." You know, so that's what I'm saying.
It's another black eye for the game. It really is. It's very disappointing. I think Colin Campbell. You know, the inconsistencies, and that's another one of the hottest topics. What's his name? Le Perrier from Montreal gets 4 games, and Ovechkin gets 2. Very similar hit. really, actually, you know, I think Ovechkin's hit, I don't see how it's a major in the game. I think, again, once I said, you know, and Katsi will fight me to the end because he can't stand Ovechkin, but I think you have to look at it like this. People know Alex Ovechkin, and the other funny thing is you'll always hear Katsi and the old-time hockey players, which, you know what, it does make sense, and it is true. They'll say you got to keep your head on a swivel, and you always got to know who's on the ice. And you know what?
Hey, we're going out. We just want to say good night, everybody. Thanks for listening. Okay, we're on the podcast. Sorry, Paulie. Didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I know. I have to do the same thing. But, you know, and then around, you talk to people around hockey, and, you know, we talk about legal hits and illegal hits. The bottom line is I agree that you must know who's on the ice at all times, and that's all well and good when it's good, clean body contact. But I think the problem here is how can you say, well, there's no rule for the hit to Savard's head. And we've talked about it. Well, it's obvious that hit's intent to injure a player. Because if you watch that hit every single time, my point is this. Mark Savard is going to get hit on this play. There's no doubt about it. Matt Cook could have hit Mark Savard, could have tapped him on the butt, smacked him in the head, and gave him a wet willy, and he would have never known it. The problem here is Matt Cook is purposely looking to rip Savard's head off and cause an injury. And how Colin Campbell doesn't see that, but everybody else in the hockey world does, the man needs to find a new job. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, it's definitely something that, I mean, it's got to be addressed, and hopefully this is the beginning of something that's going to, you know, and really take consideration. I just really, you would think that the players would get together and say, guys, you know, or a players association, we got to start looking out for each other's livelihoods. I mean, this is a blatant disregard. It's against the code. There used to be a code, and amongst the players, there is no code now, and again, it's also the rules that are in place don't make it easily enforced on the ice to police itself.
Right.
But don't these guys understand this is the livelihood of some person, and they're taking these shots? Not just the livelihood, their lives. You're coming at a guy 30-40 miles an hour with the protection they got now. It's insane.
Right.
There can't be that much hate for a guy that you want to take out his life. I mean, there's a couple of players I can think that have come down in the 30 years I watched that I want to see his life taken. But that ended briefly. But on the ice, I know passions get high, but, I mean, it's disgusting. I mean, again, if somebody dies on the ice, then it's all over. Because you want to talk about a black cloud, I mean, you know, it's similar to, I don't want to get into that, but it's got to be, and hopefully won't be tolerated, but there's definitely this chasm of inconsistency between the Ovechkin and the Matt Cook, you know, ramifications for what he did. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Right. I did want to I wanted to chime in real quick on something else that you guys were talking about, Sean Avery. Actually, you know, and I know both of you guys know, I've been on again, off again with John Tortorella. First of all, I have to say this. John Tortorella did not bench Sean Avery for any other reason than to bench Sean Avery because if you look back, Sean has been kind of quiet as of late. I think it was a good move to bench him because I think it inspires Sean to realize what his role is and what the Rangers need him to do. And I don't think it was for anything else but that. On the other side of the coin with Tortorella, the thing that upsets me the most, and Kazi's made this point many times, you know, you got to think about this too, guys. 70, what are we at, 65, 69 games in? And we've yet to see a steady line.
That's not Darth Vader, that's D.B. Mason.
Like, what the hell?
This is D.B. Maven. Don't give in to the dark side of the board. The Rangers will not make the playoffs.
D.B., are you there? D.B.?
I wasn't breathing deliberately.
Yeah, stop that breathing, will you?
All right, let him finish up his point about Tortorella.
I'm sorry, Paulie.
No, that's fine. I just think at this point in the juncture of the season, you don't know what line combinations work by now. I mean, it's a joke. We're not 20 games in. We're 60-some-odd games. You got another 15 games left. If you don't know your line combinations by now, buddy, you shouldn't be behind the bench. And that's personally how I feel. That was probably my biggest quirk with this guy. Every night it's something new. Every second shift it's something different. By now, if he doesn't have an idea on who's going and who's not going, I don't think you should be back there.
Well, I agree with you. He's so simple to figure out, too. If a guy scores a goal, that means he's going to play more. You know, like in the game. Doesn't mean it's going to last the next game. Brandon Prust scores, well, guess what? He's moving up to the third line and second line. He'll be playing with Gaborik the next shift. Michael Roosevelt scores his third goal of the year. Well, guess what? He's getting a lot of power play time. He's hot. It doesn't make any sense. And, yes, it goes back to the beginning of the season when they did have success playing the same lines. He was itching to overmanage, and he overcoaches. And again, like you said, if you don't know who's playing good with who by now, since you've gone through every combination imaginable, you don't know anything. So, I agree with you totally. That's spot on as far as I'm concerned. And what about you, D.B. Maven? You're pro-Rangers making the playoffs, but unfortunately, you said. D.B. Maven, you there? What's going on?
I'm disappointed because I was really looking for one of those top five draft picks.
You really wanted those top five?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you, you dumbass.
Yes, sir.
What show is it tonight?
I wanted a top five pick. I really was hoping that was what was going to happen.
All right, well, it's not. You think. What? What are we laughing about?
There must be an incredible amount of lag on this line. Holy crap.
What do you call it? From one of those bag phones from the 80s?
Yeah, a Sports Illustrated shoe phone?
I think there's like a 10-second delay on this line.
Well, how about this? You're a putz. 10 seconds to get to you.
No, actually, I'm on a... I'm on a VoIP line, but there's like got to be 20 seconds of delay.
And he's gone. That's the worst phone call. The girl that called up and wanted free tickets was a better phone call. Did you hear that one, Paulie?
Oh, yeah. I'm always around. Absolutely. That was hysterical.
Okay. I've been on hold for 25
minutes.
And you told
her to call Glenn Sather. Yes. That was good stuff. But I tell you what, if the Rangers are going to make a push, you know what? There's one thing I have to disagree, though, and I heard you, Mal. You know, I don't care if the Flyers were tired. You can't tell me that they know that they don't have to get up for the New York Rangers, especially with all this stuff. I thought it was a highly anticipated game on both sides, because I think if the Flyers were not expecting the Rangers to play them extremely hard and look for some restitution, then shame on them. That's a terrible mistake. I think the Rangers came out real strong. against them early. Went down. Here's the other thing that I really liked about this game. The Rangers come out, are the better team in the first 5-6 minutes of the game, take a penalty, go down 1-0, and in the face of adversity, come back and win the hockey game, and played hard throughout that game. And you know, on the X's and O's side, I think the only problem in that game that the Rangers don't blow it wide open is Tortorella has no clue on how to run a power play. That's the other problem. I don't see, with the guys that we have on this power play, there's no reason why we can't skate the puck in the zone. I am so sorry. Wade Redden slapped the puck around the boards, and why is Wade Redden on the power play in the first place is beyond me.
Why he's on this team is beyond me. I mean, why he's not on the ice, that's the first thing. But okay, now I'm going to address what I saw. I was there at the game, and Rangers had, I think, 4 shots in the first period, 4 or 5 shots. To me, that's not coming out ready for a game. I thought, but on the other hand, Philly didn't have many shots either. They had like 9, I think, and one of them was in, or, you know, it was something very low. It's 7 or 9. So I think, yes, I give credit to the Rangers for taking the game. If somebody is going to lay down for you and not play up, and what I thought, the Flyers did not play like they wanted to. They just didn't have it. Mentally, I didn't think they had it the whole game. And if the Rangers took advantage of that, which is, that's something to be commended. I mean, there's definitely something to it. I agree with you with the Redden. I mean, he shouldn't even be on the power play. And no, I thought the Rangers played a decent game. But I like to go what Jim said. As good of a 60-minute game that the Rangers can play, they played. So with that said, yeah, I'll agree it wasn't a walkover. But I just thought that the Flyers had a lot of because, you know, like I said, I talked to a lot of Flyer fans after the game because, you know, they were all getting yelled at and screamed at and Flyers suck and all that. And I always kind of feel bad for the opposing team, even though I say to myself, why the hell did you come to Madison Square Garden with your Flyer jersey on? You knew you were going to get abused. But I was asking him, you know, what was wrong? I mean, like, we just didn't show up, you know, and that was it. And
I thought they had some decent scoring chances. I thought that the Flyers always seem to bring a very physical game against the New York Rangers. I think both teams finished their checks well. Were they a little laxy? Again, they go up 1-0. If that's not enough to turn your juices on, then, you know, I don't know what to tell you.
No, I mean, to get the Rangers to come back, and we know if they would have went down 2-0, that would have been the insurmountable lead, as Vinny Vassalino calls it when the Rangers are down 2-0.
Right.
But, you know, they did come back, and I think it's something to build on. I think they're capable of playing better hockey, and hopefully we'll see that against Les Habitants tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I thought they played pretty good defensively, too, something that we didn't
they did.
Against New Jersey at all. You know,
they were
the Rangers are starting to score some goals. But... With all that said, I tell you what, I mean, like you guys said, every night's a big night. Tomorrow's a big game. Every game that they play, whether it's an Eastern Conference rival or not, every game's big. But, you know, I still want to look up on the upside, and I want to see this team succeed and, you know, hopefully grab a spot here. And I think it's going to happen more so because I don't think Boston's going to be able to put anything together for the rest of the year.
Yeah, they look like they're sunk. They're just playing like a team that's sunk.
Yeah. I think so. But
I mean, they've been hit with so many injuries this year, too, whether it's been Savard, Bergeron, Krejci. I mean, just a lot of things have happened with them. Well, Paulie, I've got to go.
Yeah,
it's
me
been
too.
A great. It's a, always great talking to you. And Paulie D from the Paulie D radio program, Mondays, 8:30 to 9:30, giving you everything in your NHL needs and your hockey world needs. Next to this program and my Ranger Crisis program, Oh, I don't really have that anymore. But anyway, the best internet radio hockey can buy. Internet radio can buy. Too bad Block Talk Radio sucks.
Yeah.
Thank
oh,
you,
man.
Gentlemen.
All right.
And I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Good night, right, everybody.
Good night. Good night. Make it quick.